Our scripture this evening is from the Gospel of John and the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 17 and then 31b through 35. Listen now to the word of God. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is who I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Well, if you were here Sunday before last, you know that we heard a passage from the Gospel of John in which Jesus says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And then he puts it more plainly, telling them what he means by that those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There was a lot of talk that Sunday about dying and about living, and more particularly about Jesus dying. It was a lot packed into one passage, a lot frankly packed into one Sunday. But that was the only one during the Lent season in which we had a Lenten theme, because all the others had been given to the theme of transition. It was a kind of mini-Lent, as I said, I think at the time, meant to focus us on Jesus' journey to the cross before we celebrated Palm Sunday with all of its glad hosannas. And that, of course, as I said, was a prelude to Holy Week and Jesus' impending death. Well, in the passage we heard that Sunday before last, Jesus knew that all of that was getting close. As I said then, he was struggling with the advent of what John calls the hour. Up until that time in this gospel, the readers told that Jesus' hour had not yet come, but finally in that text, it had arrived. It's the time when Jesus will act in a way that will fully disclose his identity and his mission, who he is, what he's about. And that is revealed in his submission to death on a cross, and then his return to God through his resurrection and his ascension. Well, in our reading this evening, as you heard, it says Jesus knows his hour has come. He knows that he's about to leave this world and go back to God. That knowledge, that certainty, sets the stage for everything that happens in this passage. And that is quite a bit. There's Judas' betrayal of Jesus, the interaction between Peter and Jesus, as we heard, as he washes the disciples' feet, and then Jesus' teaching after that. And then finally, there is Jesus' commandment, what he calls a new commandment, that they love one another, and his saying that it is by that love that others will know that they are his followers. It's by that that people will know that we are Jesus' followers. There is so much that could be said about this passage, so much that could be said about this night and what it all means for our discipleship. But there's one particular detail in this narrative that caught my attention this year, and that is in verse 3, where it says that Jesus, knowing that God had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was returning to God, that then he got up from the table and took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself and got ready to do what? To wash a bunch of dirty feet. We've heard this so many times, we kind of forget the surprise of it, right? Well, the Gospel of John is known as a book of signs, as some of you may know. Signs that show who Jesus is. There's a story where he turns water into wine. There are a number of healings. There's the feeding of the 5,000 and the time that Jesus walked on water. And, of course, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Each of those signs point to Jesus as the Messiah and reveal something about that identity. The book of signs, identified by biblical scholars, actually ends at the close of chapter 12. But I think the foot washing, in spite of its being in chapter 13, could be taken as a sign because it reveals much about Jesus. Like many passages in Scripture, we've heard this one so many times, we can fail to appreciate its punch. We can, as I said, not notice the surprise to be found in it. But just consider what you might do and what most, I think, would do if they knew that they were not just important, but that they were the most important, the most exalted, the most holy person, not just of their own time, but of every time, that they are next to God in status and authority and power, that they are, hard as it is to imagine, themselves God. And given all that, how many would tie a towel around themselves, get down on their knees, and wash a bunch of stinky feet? I doubt that many would. In this world scheme of things, having an elevated status rarely results in humility. Typically, it means being served by others, being waited on by others, not serving others. But not so with Jesus. He sets all of that aside, and he shows what serving God looks like. It looks like serving others. He doesn't use his status as an excuse not to do something extremely humble, something that seems to actually place him below others. And the humility that he shows in this passage and in this action points to a larger and a deeper truth. It echoes what we heard in our opening sentences this evening from the letter to the Philippians. Jesus, though he was in the very form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus washing the disciples' feet points to the deep mystery at the heart of our faith that is expressed in the words of that ancient Christian hymn. In fact, the verb that John uses to describe Jesus taking off his robe literally means to lay down. And it's the same word that he uses when he writes about Jesus laying down his life. And his action of taking up his robe again is described with the same word that John uses to write about Jesus taking up his life. And so John is pointing here to Jesus' death and resurrection. In this passage, Jesus is displaying the same humility that he showed by taking on our human form and being obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. Well, we know this story so well that we can easily forget the scandal and the wonder of it. It's so familiar that we can fail to be amazed at the magnitude of grace it reveals. So I invite you as you continue through this service and through this evening and then Good Friday and Holy Saturday to reflect on a love so amazing, a love so divine that there are no lengths to which it will not go. As John says in this passage, Jesus, having loved his own in the world, loved them to the end. And so he loves us with a love without limit and a love that knows no end. Amen.